Lord, have mercy and help us. We have a burden that we've carried for a number of days. Never preached this before. We desire the Lord to have mercy on us. How many of you can tell me what the 6th of June is? Sixth of June, 1944, is when they had D-Day. American troops and a lot of others settled in to try to break the tyranny of the German army. I happened to hear the speech of President Trump that he gave on that day in honor of 75 years. And I'll have to admit he gave a good speech. I understand he writes his own speeches. Now, maybe he did, but he'd have to put some time in because he done a lot of, research, I believe, to get it all put together. But the Americans landed on the Omaha and Utah beaches to break the Adolf Hitler stranglehold on the continent. And Hitler wanted to rule the world, and the USA and the Allies set in to stop the horrible war in Europe. On the two American beachheads, the U.S. suffered 2,501 killed in action on June 6, 44. An estimated 4,414 men died on that single day. A soldier said, "I had never had a sense of fear because I didn't know what I was getting into." The Germans knew that there was going to be an invasion coming. They didn't know when or where. And General Dwight D. Eisenhower had worked for months. And he told them, "The eyes of the world are upon you. You'll bring about the destruction of the German war machine and the elimination of the Nazi tyranny." In all this, there was one soldier. Now, I want you to get what I'm saying right here. This is what President Trump, I got part of this out of the paper, my home paper. But in all of this, there was one soldier that was able to get under the machine gun fire. Now, what I understand, I'm not a historian on this, but I told Molly, I said, maybe I ought to read about it. Sounds pretty interesting. And that is that there was some hills, if I understand it right. The Germans were set in these hills overlooking the beaches, and when the Americans and all of them come in, when they unloaded the boats and they were coming in, them machine guns just gunned down everybody in sight. And they killed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. There was blood everywhere. Like Brother Michael said the other night, there was some of them drowned right there before they could ever get on the beach because of the weight. Now, why the boat didn't come all the way to the beach, I don't know, except my thought pattern on it, they knew what they were facing, so consequently they were trying to do the best they could do. But anyway, this one man, he was able to get in under, and he found, best I can remember the way President Trump put it, it was a type of a ravine that went up the hill, and he got in that ravine, and he followed it up to the top, where he got in to where he could take grenades. And he started tossing grenades into the foxholes or the bunkers or whatever you want to call it. And he started blowing up one right after another. And as he did, he began to shut her down. And as he began to shut it down, then the Americans and all those that were coming on board, they were able to fight. They were able to get up. They were able to do what they wasn't able to do. Praise God. Now then, I want to talk tonight on the war, the battle, not very good at writing, and the victory. We're in a war, folks. I don't care how you want to put it, state it, consider it. But the war started against mankind in Genesis 3. Let's turn to Genesis 3. And this is where it started, where that God had created Adam and Eve and He had put them in the garden. And they were there, and the old devil come along in the form of a serpent. He began to work with them and so forth. And that right there is where the devil started the whole downfall of mankind. He set it in a place. He was out to destroy. He was out to wound, to hurt. He was out to do everything he could do to stop, to mess up, to kill everybody he could kill. And let me tell you, folks, today he still has that same mindset. He hadn't changed. He hasn't backed off. He's still doing the dirty work he's always done. And he's working hard every day. He's going to work every one of us in here. You can be a preacher and he's going to try you. You can be a saint, he's going to try you. You can be a young person, he's going to try you. You can be an old person, he's going to try you. It doesn't matter to him who you are. If you're flesh and blood and you're wanting to make heaven, he's against that. And he's going to do everything he can do to shut you down. So he started the war. 1 Chronicles 21 and 1. I just want to go through a few places here where the devil... said, the devil stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And then Job 1 and 6. You know about Job, where he talked about the... said here that the... now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. The Lord said unto Satan, whence cometh thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? And there is none like him in the earth, a perfect, upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him, about his house, about all they hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, his substance increased in the land, and put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he'll curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, consider and weigh all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. All right, now let's go a little further. I may refer back to this right here in a little bit. Let's go to Matthew, 2nd chapter, 3rd verse. And again, the devil... he has tried to stop everything connected with godliness, righteousness, love, mercy, pity, compassion. He has done everything in his power to shut it down from the very beginning. He didn't miss a beat, and he's still not missed a beat tonight. He don't love you. He lies to you. He cheats you. He does everything he can do. And tonight, when Jesus was born, he started in again. He was set to stop it by the king. King, the wise men come and presented themselves and so forth. And Herod talked to him, I believe it was, and he told him, if you find the baby, you come and tell me about it. And the Lord stepped in. God, bless his heart, has protected and worked with this situation all the way down through the years. He hadn't missed a beat neither. God's a step ahead of the devil tonight, praise God. And he's doing everything he can do to help you and I, if we're determined by the grace of God to get the victory, to reign over sin below, to have the power that we ought to have and do the things that we ought to do. Nearly every song we sing tonight goes with this message. Are you reigning, oh my brother? Oh, tonight are you reigning? Well, so that didn't work. So then in the 4th chapter of Matthew, Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was after a hunger. When the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered, and he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Devil taketh them up into the city, holy city, setting them on a pinnacle of the temple. Saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, it's written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into a exceeding high mountain, showeth them all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And the devil leaveth him. And behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. Here again, the devil was trying all he could do to stop what God had in mind for you and I. The beginning of the end, so to speak. In other words, if the body was prepared to me to do the will of God, it says over in Hebrews. And here Christ, he's been born, now he's up to an age, beginning to start his ministry, he's out there and he's doing what he's doing. And again, the devil tries to stop it. Listen, folks, today, has he tried to stop you today? Has he tried to stop you in this meeting? Has he tried to hinder you or discourage you, or send you off one way or another? Listen, folks, today, you can backslide during a camp meeting. If you don't pray, if you don't search God, if you don't read, if you don't do what you need to do. Listen, folks, you can backslide at any time. You can backslide during a camp meeting. So he tried to stop him there. All right, then let's turn to Luke, the 22nd chapter. The final stage of the devil, when he was working against the Lord, and he said, 22 and 39... He said, and he came out and went as he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And when he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, he kneeled down and he prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel from heaven, strengthening him. Now, I may be wrong, but the devil was right here. This was the last point, in a sense, that the devil had to stop this work. Here he is showing up. Christ is consecrating. Christ is setting in order the final stages of the work that he has come to do. And here's the devil again trying to stop it. The devil don't care. Get you. He'll get you on your deathbed just before you die if he can, folks. You can wait and everything, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to pray probably all the way down to your last breath. Right there, the devil working to stop you and I. He's got a war, he's got a battle, but you and I can have the victory tonight, praise God. And the Lord, he didn't let him stop him in the garden. He didn't let him stop him on the day of temptation. He fought. He got the victory. He used the Word of God. He used the power that he had. He stood up to Satan face to face, and he went all the way, praise God, for you and I. Now then, he wants you and I to go all the way too. Now then, do you triumph, oh my brother? Where are you at tonight? All right, let's go to John 1 and 29. This is a scripture that I've loved for years. And he said the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come to baptizing with water. John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending on from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Behold. John saw one. This had been prophesied for years, that there would be one by the name of Jesus, Emmanuel, that's going to come. And he's going to do what no other thing could do. There wasn't no blood of bulls and goats. There wasn't anything that could could work. God seen from the beginning it wouldn't work. Him and Christ set up a plan from the foundation, before the foundation of the world, whereby there'd be a plan of power and victory, be a plan of working. And here in Jesus Christ, He's entering in. And John looks at Him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." I want you tonight to look at the Lamb of God. I want you tonight to think about the One that came to do the work that needs to be done. And He didn't let the devil bulldoze Him. He didn't let him stop Him. He didn't let him push Him over. Bless God, Jesus stood up to Him and done everything He needed to do to have the victory that He got for you and I. Praise God. Now then, there was one soldier went up and went under, and he got that ravine. And he had what he needed to have. Now, I don't know if he purposely had the grenades or if that was part of his war belt, so to speak. But he had them. And he worked his way up. One man. One man, folks, was taking on all of Nazi Germany, so to speak. One man was going up the way to get to the place where he could have the advantage to throw the grenades and begin to blow up and stop the tyranny of the great Adolf Hitler. Listen, folks, one man by the name of Jesus, praise God, he come to a place and he made the moves and he done the things and he brought the victory and he done everything that he needed to do. The devil couldn't stop him. Adolf Hitler couldn't stop this man. This man got down there, bless God, and he got the victory and started it for the United States of America, Great Britain, and everyone else. And tonight, praise God, Jesus, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Listen, this man named Jesus, praise God, come to make a plan and to have a way where you and I can be redeemed and washed and have victory tonight, praise God. Amen. He done what nobody else could do. One man, the Son of God, look at Him, think about Him. Where are you at tonight? Where are you at tonight? John seeth Jesus coming, said, "Behold," look at, consider, and weigh. Think about, there is people in this town that's not living for God. But I want to point you to one named Jesus. I want to point you to one that has power of deliverance and victory for whatever you need tonight. Praise God. There are people say, "I can't live it." Yes, you can. Jesus broke the power of the devil and everything needed to be whereby you and I can do what we need to do. Praise God. Now then, are you willing to look at Him tonight? Think about Him. "Well, I can't live for God." Yes, you can. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously in this present world. Listen, folks, tonight you can do it by His power, His deliverance, and His grace tonight. Praise God. He's got the power for you. Are you willing to accept that power? Are you willing to allow Him to work with you? I want you to look at Jesus tonight. I want you to think about Jesus. Listen, folks, tonight, one man by the name of Jesus come to make a plan and to do a work that is worked fabulously over and over and over. If it hadn't been for Jesus, Brother Marty wouldn't be here. Brother Michael wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. Old Brother Sammons wouldn't have been here. But bless God, He saved and delivered. He done something nobody else could do. And bless God, we're here tonight because of the power of the Jesus Christ. The war, the battle, and the victory. It's not easy. I was there when my wife got saved. The devil had lied to her for years. And she wanted to live for God. And finally she came to a tent meeting in 1999, I believe, in the fall. Had a tent meeting. One old brother I love by the name of Lewis Kimball was preaching that night. And he just preached right at Molly and didn't even know her. And I'm going to tell you, that began the work. After a little while, she called and got our number. We knew one another. Her husband and I knew one another. I'd gone down the store and invited them to the meeting over and over. So we knew who each other was. But she called And she said, "Will you and Rebecca meet us? I want to get saved." That was music to my ears. And I'm going to tell you, God done a work that day. I was there when she got sanctified. I had the blessing of baptizing her. But the devil had done everything he could do to stop it. For years he worked. He lied to her over and over. He told her that Jesus was lying to her. And he made her believe it. And she listened to it and listened to it, that the Lord was lying to her. And so consequently, she didn't go anywhere. She couldn't get anything. But when she finally, that was beginning to be broken then, she began to see something, praise God. She said the devil had her in quite a stronghold. And he did. But then come Jesus. Behold Jesus Christ. Look at the Lamb of God. The one with power and authority. The one that can break the tyranny and the presence and the workings of the enemy of your soul tonight. The one that wants to deliver you and make a saint of God out of you. Praise God. He can do what nobody else can do. Well, when she prayed through, she knew she had it. And she come up from there shouting, praise God. And I'm not bragging on my wife. I didn't even plan to mention this. But she come up a shouting. And I'm glad she did, because I got her about 20 years later. And now she's my wife. So I'm thankful she prayed through. I'm thankful she saw the Lamb. Oh, tonight look at Jesus, folks. Look at the Lamb of God that can give deliverance and give victory and give power no matter what the war is, no matter what the battle is. He's got the victory every time, praise God. Are you letting Him give you the victory tonight? Are you letting Him work with you? Do you have the victory tonight? All right, 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17 and 29 here. Poor little David. Dear little David. And you know the story. How he was the keeper of the sheep. And he come there and he looked things over and he said here in the 28th verse, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Was there a cause for D-Day? Was there a need for America and France and Britain and whoever else to get together and Dwight D. Eisenhower, the general, and the president, and all those that was involved in it? Was it not a cause for them to put together a plan? And the Germans knew it. They had set up a fortification, they said, in the Atlantic, because they knew that they were going to do something. We were going to do something. They knew that. And it did happen. Now then, is there not a cause tonight? Is there not a cause for you to get victory? Is there not a cause for you to live for God? Is there not a cause tonight for you to do what God would have you to do? Go where He wants you to go. Give what He wants you to give. Be involved with what He wants you to be involved in. Listen, folks, tonight you may need a deeper depth. You may need to sacrifice, consecrate deeper, sacrifice more, do what God would have you to do. Listen, the cry tonight, there is a war, there is a battle, and there is a victory. And I'm going to tell you tonight, Jesus wants every one of us to get to the place where we get what we need to get, where we can do what we need to do, praise God. Is there not a cause? The devil, or the giant, Goliath, he defied, he made fun of, he disdained the armies of Israel. And David looked this over and thought about it. And he said, "Well, isn't there a cause? Well, I killed the sheep, I killed the bear, I believe it was, I killed the lion, and this ain't nothing in the hands of God. All you got to do is let me go do the battle. Why are you just doing this and doing that? No, David saw something that needed to be done. God would fix to use him and make a valuable servant out of him. Listen, the Lord wants to use you tonight. He wants to make you valuable. He wants to do the things with you that He needs to be done in those around you. Praise God. I don't know everybody's friends and neighbors, all your loved ones. I know a lot of people, but there's people in here I don't know that you have influence with, that you could bless, that you could help. But you got to get to the place in the war that you get the victory and the battle and do the things that need to be done whereby God can bless and work. Is there not a cause tonight? There's a cause, praise God. There's a cause in the United States. There's a cause that God wants to use people to bless people. Let's go to 1 Peter 5 and 8, where it said, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. And then Revelations in the 12th chapter, 17th verse, it just names it out here. He says here that, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, and keep the commandment, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to tell you that war is still going today. It ain't stopped. The devil and all of his imps and everything that he's got. Brother Clinton told me that the brother here, when Brother Clinton was preaching and these were passing by, and Brother Clinton was sounding loud and doing what he needed to do, and this brother was turning the mic down where that the people couldn't hear it, bless God, because he knew what they could do. Listen, folks, the devil's out to use anybody that he can use to stop you tonight. He wants to stop your testimony. He wants to stop your life. He wants to stop your power. He wants to wear you down and wipe you out. He wants to do anything he can do tonight. He has declared war on the church of God. He declared war on the saints all down through the years since 1880 to now. And he's not going to stop the war, the battle, and the victory. He wants to give you something tonight that you've never had. Praise God. To make war with him. Now then, in that case right there, if I understand it right, the devil couldn't touch the church, so he went after the individuals. He went after those that had a testimony, those that lived for God. And he went to wear them down, to wear them out, to stop them, to hinder them. The church was saved. The church is always going to be saved. But I'm going to tell you tonight, the devil wants to work with anybody he can tonight to hinder you in any way he can. The war, the battle, and the victory. Oh, tonight, where are you at? Where are you at? The devil is working hard on you tonight. Let's go to Luke 22. Luke 22 and 31, where Jesus is dealing with Simon, I believe it is. And he said, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, consider, look at, think about, Simon. Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. He told him point blank. He said, Satan has desired to have you. I got news for you. He's after every one of you tonight, too. He's desiring everyone in here. It doesn't matter who you are, he's wanting you. And maybe I'm repeating myself some here, but I want to drive home a point. The devil is real, but Christ is greater. The devil is mean, and Christ is loving. The devil will do anything he can to stop you, and Christ wants you to go on. And so he told him, he said, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. He wants to break you down in every way he can. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Listen, folks, tonight, the Lord does not want your faith to fail. Your faith is a key in this whole deal. He does not want your faith to fail in any way. So consequently, I'd say in a sense, He's still praying for every one of us, working with us, talking with us, encouraging us, helping us to be sure that we don't go down, praise God. There've been times I had the devil stand me face to face a number of years ago, and he's there, and I was a little discouraged, I admit that. I wasn't on the mountain totally, and the devil just walked up to me, and he said, "You're going to say, I'm going to give up." I stood there. I thought about it for a second. I said, "I am not. Get on out of here. Leave me alone. I'm not going to give up what I got." And he left, and I'm still going. And that's back in the 70s. When I was in the service station business, back in 73, 74, 75, and 76. And I didn't quit. You're going to have to stand against the devil in the wiles of the devil. You're going to have to do whatever you need to do by the power of God. He wants to help you. He wants to bless you. He wants to encourage you tonight. He wants you to dig deeper, praise God, because the war is on, saints. It's not going to get any easier. It's not going to get any lighter. It's going to be a hard war. And the older you get sometimes, what if the devil don't work that much harder? I'm going to have you. Devil wants you, Simon. He wants you. But I prayed for you. I want to help you out. All right, let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 6 and 6. 1 Timothy 6 and 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Now, there's a lot right here. If the world would listen to what this says, they'd be a lot better off. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You didn't bring anything into this world, and you're not going to carry anything out. So having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Be content tonight with what we've got. And then it goes on and said, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and in many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Fall after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, and fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Now, he said here, but they that will be rich fall into temptation, snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. And then he says the love of money is the root of all evil. It didn't say money here. It said the love of money. The love of money in some ways is destroying America. It is making a greed and a problem and doing things that nothing else will do. It is bringing power in, but that power is doing destruction at the same time. If you have money, a lot of times you have power. So the love of money is the root of all evil. Not some evil, but all evil. Which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Do you want sorrow tonight? Do you want pain? Do you want anguish? If you follow that route, you're going to have problems. There are people that I've watched err from the faith. I've watched them go down. I've watched money be a part of that and done the damage and the pain and the anguish to them. One man told me one night, he said, "I had the world by the tail, Carl, till this happened." Then he decided he didn't have so much. He was laying in a hospital bed, and he was very sick. And what happened, what we found out later, is his gallbladder was actually beginning to rupture that night. If they hadn't operated on him, it would have ruptured that night and possibly killed him. So he followed this. But it said, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou art also called and is professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now here's the one I want to work with mainly. What is faith to you and I tonight? It is everything. You can't get saved without faith. You can't get sanctified without faith. You can't really do anything with God without faith. So the devil tonight is doing everything he can to hinder you. And when he was going over there, I think in Luke 17 and 1 through 5 or 6, he was talking about offenses and so forth. And the disciples flat just put it out, said, Lord, increase our faith. Have mercy on us, Lord, and increase our faith. Why did they say that? Because they could see the things he was talking about and see the problems that they were fixed to have. So consequently, they wanted him to help them. Listen tonight, the Lord wants to help to increase your faith tonight. He wants you to fight the good fight, but at the same time he wants to help you. And to fight a good fight, that means for you to continue on. That means for you to cultivate it and do everything you can do. And then if you're struggling somewhat, the Lord wants to help you one way or another. One time I was praying for more faith, an inspiration, a knowledge, more to know about faith. It's been many years ago. And so I thought it was going to come through the Word of God. I thought it was going to come by study and reading and prayer and so forth. It didn't happen. I thought, well, Lord, I want more faith. One night a car pulled into the service station where I was working. They got out and said, I got a hot radiator. I said, all right. Well, the old, I don't want to call it, not flex hoses, but your plain hoses, Brother Michael. Your smooth hoses, that's what I'm trying to say. If there was no pressure on the system, you could just squeeze that. If you could squeeze it down, there was no pressure in the system, you could pop the cap, look down, see what you need to do. Well, I done that. I crushed the hose in my hand. No pressure, I thought. Popped the cap, and I got a surprise. This old faithful come boiling out of that radiator. It got my top of my hand, maybe this one mostly, burned me real good, pain and anguish. People saw it. They laughed at me. They mocked at me. They made fun of me because I was trusting God. I didn't want to do this. Didn't want to do that. And the bottom line was, there was a lot in there. But I learned something. It helped me with my faith. It deepened me down. Listen, folks, fight the good fight of faith. Don't allow the devil to take anything from you when it comes in the line of faith. You build a foundation of faith as Abraham did, and God does not want you to allow the devil to take any of that away from you, because you never know when you're going to need it, praise God. He's making a war on faith. He is trying to destroy every bit of faith he can in the United States. Right now I'd say the United States is the lowest on faith it's been in years. And he wants to do that with you and I. He wants to do that with the people of God. And I'm not totally just talking about trust in God, live or die. I'm not totally talking about that. I'm talking about the whole life of faith, from the time you pray through and you have faith to connect with Jesus, repent ye and believe the gospel, all the way till you breathe your last breath. You fought all the battles down through life. You have trusted God. Listen, folks, there's going to be times you're going to have bare faith, living, holding on to the Word of God and what He says. Just like Noah, when he was building the ark, what did he do? God spoke to it. It never rained. It never flooded. It never had anything like that. And God told him, I want you to build an ark. What did he do? He built it. Because he had faith in God. God could tell you something, and it may look like the most ridiculous thing in life to you. But he wants you to have faith in him. Fight. When the devil comes along and says, and I could be wrong, but what I understand, there was people taunted him, laughed at him, called him old fogey probably and all kind of things, and made fun of him. You're building a boat, it's going to float on water, and it's never even rained. They said he was a preacher of righteousness. The Lord wants you to be a preacher of righteousness per se. To live the life of faith before people where they can see something they never see before. And the devil's going to come along and he's saying, now, God didn't tell you to do that. God didn't tell you to go over there. God didn't tell you this or tell you that. He didn't tell you that. But he did, and you've got to have faith in God because the devil will stop you if he can. Fight the good fight. Tell him, get on out of here, devil. Rebuke him and stand against him. And say, lay hold. I'm going to tell you, if we're going to have eternal life, we're going to have to lay hold on to it and hold on to it and hold on to it. Because the devil will take it away from you if he can. He did not want you to live for God. He did not want you to make heaven. The war, the battle, and the victory. The devil is going to try to take your eternal life, your salvation, your sanctification. He's going to do everything he can to take it away from you. And I'm going to tell you, you need to get a hold of it and hang on to it with everything you got, praise God. There may be times that you cry. There may be times that you weep. There may be times you get out and you bawl and you can't even pray. But I'm going to tell you, hang on to it, praise God. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Hang on to it at all costs. Don't allow it to get away. Young people don't backslide. Middle-aged people don't backslide. Old people don't backslide. We need everybody in this building, praise God. And consequently, you're going to have to hold on to it with everything you got. Deb on Tyre. I'm sure you probably know more about it than I do. But, and I don't know all about it, but I got word that some window washers were hanging for their life. Now, I've heard two different stories, Brother Dan, so I don't know totally, but anyway, glass got broken and don't know totally what all happened. But one report I got is these men were hanging on that they, usually what I understand people that do that kind of stuff, and I got news for you, I told Lloyd Eck, I said, I ain't crazy enough to get up there. He said, I ain't either, Carl. You don't have to worry about it. But they get up and they have a kind of a platform. And they have cables that go up that let them up and down. And one of these cables broke and they was hanging for their lives. Now, whether all I understand right, I don't know totally, Brother Dan. But the bottom line was they was holding on. Listen, folks, you're going to have to hold on, to hold on, to hold on. Brother, what was his name? He was a preacher many years ago, Alonzo Dow. And he was holding a revival meeting, and he was holding in at Old Brush Harbor. And one night he stepped out the side, and he jumped up, and he grabbed a limb. And he said, hold on, Alonzo, hold on, hold on. And he dropped down, he got back in the pulpit and said, that's your message. There's a lot to that. You're going to have to hold on. You're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. You're going to have to lay hold on eternal life. Whereupon thou art also called. You and I are called. God has called people right here in this meeting. He has dealt with you, called you, talked to you, convicted you, stirred you. And you have professed a good profession before many witnesses. And I give thee charge in the sight of God, which quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus and before Pontius Pilate, witness a good confession. The Lord wants you to continue to have your good confession. He wants you to go on living for God. All right, let's go to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Ephesians, the sixth chapter here. And about the tenth verse, Ephesians 6 and 10. It said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the powers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, he said here in the 10th verse, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power. David, when he took on the giant, he let it be known that it could be done through the power of God. Now, if you're struggling with having victory tonight, if you're struggling doing what the Lord would have you to do, going where He wants you to go, being involved in what He wants you to be involved in, He has the power to help you tonight. Said, be strong. How strong are you in the Lord tonight? And in the power of His might. Not your might, but His might. He is there to help you. Let us therefore come boldly in the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. That throne of power, of glory, of grace, of victory, of healing, of salvation and sanctification, whatever you want to call it, that powerful throne is there with Jesus sitting on the right hand of God to help you at any time, dare not. So he said, be strong in the Lord, the power of His might, put on the whole armor. Now then, if you're going to go into war, you don't want to go ill prepared. David, when he was dealing with the king put his armor on him. Do you remember that? And David tried it on, and he took it back off. And I haven't, how did he put it? I haven't tried this, didn't he say? I haven't tried this, I believe the way he put it. Or I hadn't used it or something like that. And he took it off. Listen, folks, tonight, you can only go in your own armor. Nobody else's. You can't put on another man's armor. You can't put on another man's testimony. You can't put on another man's salvation or sanctification. You've got to have your own personal experience. So he said, put on the whole armor. Not part of it, but all of it. The whole, the complete, the total. That ye may be able to stand against the wiles, the workings, the slyness, and so forth of the enemy. He said here, he said, for wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is not, you're not fighting against me. And I'm not fighting against you. But we're fighting against the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're fighting against things you can't see with your natural eyes. And so consequently, you've got to have an eye of faith and a heart of love, and a power of God by His workings with you to help you to wrestle, to fight, and to get victory in this. But put on the whole armor. Take unto you the whole armor, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand, stand therefore. How are you standing tonight? Are you a little bit weak? Are you doing well? Can your companion look at you and say, he's doing fine. She's doing fine. Your children look at you, fathers or mother, say they're doing fine. I know they're in a battle. I know the devil is working hard in our house. I know he's doing everything he can to stop us. But my father and mother is standing, and they're standing firm. They're not moving. They're not giving in. They're not going down. They're praying. They're studying. They're fasting. They're doing whatever they need to do. And they're standing exactly like they ought to stand. Then you got the congregation watching you. Stand. Stand, therefore. I'm going to tell you, when a hurricane hits, you better be ready. There's a difference between a hurricane and a tornado. I've lived in the southeast, and I've lived in Oklahoma most of my life. And in that, they used to, they did not have the technology they have today. They actually will tell us that there is going to be storms and a high possibility of tornadoes in a certain area. And sometimes they're right. One time they said there's going to be tornadoes coming through, and it's going to start right at 4 o'clock. And I was at a place of business and looked up, and the siren started blowing, and I looked at my watch. It's 4 o'clock. I thought, wow. You've got to have something to stand when the winds are blowing strong. You've got to have something to stand when everybody is falling around you, so to speak. So take the whole armor that you may be able to stand, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all. Not some of. It said, be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. There was a minister who made a statement one time. He said that he was quoting this scripture and he was quoting it wrong. And I don't remember now just how he said he was quoting it. But one day it dawned on him, he said, I'm not quoting this right. I've not got the right meaning on this scripture. So he said, taking the shield of faith. I said a while ago, faith is of high importance in a battle. It is. It said, above all. If you don't really have anything else, you've got to have your faith. Taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of wicked, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. And I don't want to take time to go into all the depths of this, but the bottom line is tonight, you're in a battle and you need everything you need to win the battle. If you have it all, you'll be fine. But if you try to, slip by, so to speak, it ain't going to work too good. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy 2 and 1. Let's wrap it up. 2 Timothy 2 and 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangling self with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. Now, Lord help us. When you go into the military, you don't go in there to have a bed of roses and ease. They take you and they put you through things. And I don't have a whole lot of knowledge of it per se, but my sister went into the military, and it was horrible. She just about didn't make it. They put her through that boot camp, and they trained her and worked with her, dealt with her, stirred her up, so to speak. So it's going to take some hardness. Endure hardness. Endure the hard things. That's going to come your way. And the Lord will help you. He will build you. He will settle and establish you. He will make you tough by the power of God to help you to endure hardness as a good soldier. So no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. Now, if you're on a battlefield, the only thing you're going to think about is your life and the life of your men around you. At least I think that way it'd be. I don't know if I've ever been out there and never had a gun, never been shooting anybody. But I would think there'd be certain things. And that would be you, and that would be the men around you, and the enemy before you. And you don't want to entangle yourself. You don't want to get your mind off wondering. You want to focus in on what the battle is. One man told me that he was a leader in a platoon of men. And he said that they were in real trouble. So he literally told the men, go. And he stood there and he took on a whole group of the enemy all by himself. He had his weapons. And he said, I mowed them down one right after another. He killed enemy after enemy after enemy after enemy. And he was the only one standing. It got down in later years, and his wife had begged him to get saved. Others had talked to him about getting saved, but he couldn't quite forgive himself because he'd killed so many men. It haunted him. It disturbed him. Finally, the Lord gave him, I don't remember how exactly it happened, but the Lord helped him to be able to do what he needed to be done. And he basically got saved right on his deathbed. So you don't want to entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. Tonight, there is too many people that's entangling themselves too much. And that is going to give them problems and trouble down the line somewhere. So don't get entangled in the world. All right, let's finish up in Isaiah 6 and 1. Isaiah, the 6th chapter, 1st verse. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims, each had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, with twain he did fly. One cried unto another, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. The post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. He looked at all of that, he considered all of that, and he said, Woe is me. I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Tonight, you need to see God. You need to see the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You need to look at Him for what He is and what He can do for you. Don't worry about anybody else tonight. Let's zero in on ourselves. What do you need tonight? Where are you at? Where is your victory of level at? Where is your victory of consecration at? The deal of surrender at? Where are you at tonight? So he said, Woe is me. I've seen him. I need help. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with a tongue from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And then I heard a voice, the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Tonight, this is not only about our personal salvation, but this is about our consecration to do what God would have us to do. He looked it all over. He saw where he was at. He got the help that he needed. And then when the Lord gave the call, he said, Here am I. I'll go. I'll do what you want me to do, Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll preach what you want me to preach. I'll teach what you want me to preach. I'll sing what you want me to sing. Whatever you want, Lord, I'll give it to you tonight. Are you there? If the Lord was to call you, what would you do? If He was to deal with you, what would be your mindset? Tonight, there is a war. Been going on for a long time. There is a battle. There is a victory. And there is the call. Who will go for me? Who will stand for me? Who will fight for me? We're going to have to get our own victory. But at the same time, when we do that, we're also helping others that are looking on. One man one time went through quite a battle. It lasted a while. He come out and he got the victory. And somebody talked to him one time and they said, another person told him, said, we watched him and said he got the victory. And if he can do it, I can too. Tonight, if you can do it, others can too. you will help show the power, the grace, and the mercy, and the workings of the Spirit of God by the life that you live, the victory that you have, the workings that you work for God. They can see that it can be done. Tonight, let's stand. Let's have a number. If you need help tonight, it's time to come. The Lord wants to bless you.